You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, Oranga Tamariki released their data around baby uplifts, which prompted a look at to see what might be causing a spike in uplifts, particularly for Maori families. This comes after an emotional look at the process of a baby uplift by Melanie Reed, and an understanding that Maori families are on average experiencing this at a much higher frequency. Otago University senior lecturer in social work Emily Kittle has analyzed the data around these uplifts, and she started by telling me more about what details the data can give us.
It shows quite a few things, but the main areas are relating to the increasing disparities for Māori, and that's true of children of all ages in the child protection system over the last sort of 10 years, but it's of particular importance for babies being removed, because drilling down into those numbers shows that basically the whole increase since 2015 is for Māori babies as opposed to babies from other ethnic groups.
Hmm. Can you go into a little bit more depth around those figures in terms of what they are indicating, more of the detail there?
Sure, yeah. So the other thing that is coming through in the data that's been released most recently is the regional effects in relation to babies being removed. So that helps us gain a bit more depth of understanding that it's not solely about ethnicity, but there's actually a strong regional effect where four regions really show the biggest increases compared to other regions in the country. It's unclear why that might be, because other regions also have some of the strong structural contributors to system contact, such as high poverty, for example. So it's important to figure out what's going on in those particular regions.
Mm. In regards to those regions, what regions are we looking at?
So those four regions are Northland, East Coast, Wellington and Waikato. Mm. Yeah, and there are eight other regions as defined by the Oranga Tamariki regional boundaries, and those regions collectively have actually had a decline in baby removals in the last 3 years.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you said just before that you don't see there being any clear reason as to why we're seeing an increase in uplifts in these particular regions. Do you think there are some systemic issues at play potentially?
Yeah, so our other inequalities project and my other previous research looking at decision making suggests that there are some definite things that we should be looking at more closely. So we need a really strong kind of research-based approach to figuring out why those things are. But some things that come to mind are the demand and supply of services in different regions. So some regions might have fewer prevention services that are available to families before they hit or get in contact with the child protection system. It may also be that different regions have developed different kind of institutional cultural norms around the reasons for babies to be uplifted. So there may be some regions that take a more interventionist approach because of that, when we compare them to other regions. Yeah, those are the two kind of main things that we should be examining more closely. The other thing that really is interesting in the recent data release is looking at the changes around the ways that babies enter the care system. So there's been a big change from babies who are being removed in the postnatal period, like after they've been born, as opposed to babies having orders made on them in the antenatal period, so while they're still unborn. And also that much fewer are being removed by agreement with families. So much more being removed via the legal order pathway rather than families have agreed that, hey, yes, look, it actually probably is the best thing for me at this point in time to allow my baby to be placed in care. And sometimes, you know, people do decide that for a whole range of reasons, but what we're seeing is much less of that and much more use of a legal order to take babies into care. Mm. Yeah.
Why do you think it is that the antenatal is increasing so much?
We have a much stronger focus because of our reforms in 2015 on early intervention, and I think for some people that's being equated with getting in earlier, but you know, even before a baby is born. And in some ways that is with a view to more strongly considering long-term outcomes for babies. On the other hand, it does sort of beg the question around families being given opportunities to show, you know, that they are competent, or are plans being put in place that might allow people to access the supports they need to be able to parent. Obviously, if you're not given that opportunity, you never can show that.
So the kind of comparison between early intervention for the baby and early intervention for the family on a whole is quite different.
I think it's being perceived in that way. Although, yeah, there's always those competing interests in any child protection decision, right? You're weighing up what might be best for the baby with what supports are available for the family and the rights of the family. But also the baby, there's no clear or easy way to decide which way that decision should fall. However, the baby also has rights to remain with their family where possible. So if there are no supports available to families, I guess the big question is, why aren't we supporting families more adequately to keep babies rather than going for this last resort option?
And what you find with these kinds of conversations, some people will point to higher poverty rates, addiction, and domestic violence amongst Māori being the reasons for this increase in uplifts. And this kind of commentary shifts the blame to an individual problem and away from a systemic one. What would you say to that?
Yeah, look, it's complicated, but I think in anything that has a really highly racialized outcomes, you've got to at least include the possibility that institutionalized biases operating at the structural level that are feeding into the increase in disparities. But they may also play out through sort of third-party variables like the ones you've mentioned as well. So it's not to me, it's not an either-or conversation. But I think we should be also thinking more about how the deep experiences around heightened poverty for Māori particularly are exacerbating some of those other issues that you've just mentioned as well. And so without addressing those high poverty rates as part of a response to things like domestic violence or poor mental health, then we're limiting our response to that individualistic area rather than thinking about families in their whole social context.
And I'm curious, how have you found the governmental response as well as the media response to the uplifts?
Well, it's been interesting. I think in any kind of social change, there are different stakeholders that engage with the issue in different ways. I think it's been quite defensive, but I think that might be slowly changing. I think as Oranga Tamariki realise that, they actually really need to engage with Māori, with the NGO community, and with society at large about this important issue. Hopefully we can have the public debates that are really important to progress this issue. And I think, Oranga Tamariki did release the starter voluntarily. So I think there are, good signs that they might be moving from the initial very sort of defensive position to one that's perhaps more able to engage with the very real concerns of people outside of Oranga Tamariki.
And what kind of changes would you like to see happen from government?
I suppose because I'm a researcher, I'd like to see a lot more investment in research.
So,
as you know, we see these broad patterns, but understanding exactly why they're happening is really important, and we need a really well-funded and strategic kind of research agenda to figure them out. So that's one thing. The second thing would be, I guess, more attention to some of those social determinants of system contact, so more attention to income support and housing particularly, which are being felt most by families with children, and of course that's who comes into contact with the child protection system, so addressing some of those structural determinants is important, and also really examining the funding of those prevention services. So lots of NGOs and iwi and Pacifica services offer community-based services, but as the Social Service Providers Association report that just came out yesterday showed us, those services are underfunded by to the tune of something like $600 million per year when you compare what they're being expected to do and the amount that they are funded by governments for. And so that's really, you know, a key area for investment going forward if we want to see a reduction of those numbers, because it's all about ensuring that families have enough support. And some families really, you know, parenting's hard for all of us, you know. It brings a lot of challenges, and if you're in a position where you don't have much support, it makes it doubly difficult.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.